Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Nate Rao, reporter for Axios Nashville, who's been out in front of things here on the potential Titans' new stadium. Nate, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, not much. And, thanks for having me on.
Well, Nate, we appreciate you joining us. And first off, great job on reporting on this story and the developments on it so far. We've been talking about it and following along here with it on the show. Just kind of update us on the latest on the stadium talks and specifically what sort of an increase the hotel motel tax that you've highlighted here in your Axios story that could mean for people here in Nashville and for how it could be used to maybe pay for this potential new Titan Stadium.
Yeah. Here's where things stand right now. The Titans, as I'm sure you guys know, earlier this year said they were considering building a new stadium instead of renovating Nissan, which had kind of been what a lot of stakeholders thought was the direction it was headed. And so now we're in this phase of, figuring out how it would be paid for. And there have been a couple of different revenue streams identified through the state, legislative session. One was in the governor's amended budget, $500 million in bonds to pay for an enclosed roof stadium, and that still needs to be approved by the legislature. And the second, which just came out this week, and we had the story, I guess, yesterday, is to increase the city's hotel motel tax, which visitors pay every time they rent a hotel room, from 6% to 7%, and that 1% increase would generate, conservatively, based off our last pre-pandemic numbers, about $300 million a year. Actually, it'll be a bit more than that, maybe even as much as twice that amount each year. And that money would be used, strictly to help pay for the Titan Stadium.
So, Nate, I noticed in your piece, like you said, the fiscal analysis. Now, you mentioned in your piece $10 million annually. So is that when you're talking $10 million annually and then Butch Spiridon said maybe it could be 17 and 20, does that mean the money actually put toward this annually? Like that would be the chunk that would be directed this way.
$10 million annually, and it might be as much as double that. And then you think about financing this over 30 years. Forgive me if I misspoke there. So, you're looking at $300 million is the low end, and over the course of this project, if it's approved, right, it's got to get through the legislature. No one knows how that will ever go, and then maybe as much as double that.
And so what, it has passed one round, correct? And it was a 10-3 vote? And correct. What else is ahead then? What else is ahead?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
No, I'm sorry, Nate. Yeah, I just was going to ask you that. What is ahead, and how do you feel? Like, what would you expect moving forward in terms of this particular aspect of this and how it will be received and voted on?
Well, I view this as, essential to happen for this project to ever come together. So that's number one. It's a big deal. Timelines, you look at the bills, it took them years to get the financing together in Buffalo for their project. So we'll see does it happen this session. I would say the odds are yes, it does. It cleared a committee yesterday with 10 votes. We have a Republican-led legislature. There were 3 Republicans that voted against this, so there's questions and there's concerns. And it's not a sure thing, but I think the odds are that both, the governor's portion of this and the hotel motel tax increase get through this session.
Nate Rao from Axios Nashville on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And it's interesting, Nate, to see how this has come together here in terms of, it seems like there's a pretty big push for now that it's going to be an indoor stadium, because then you're getting Super Bowls, Final Fours, college football playoff games, things of that nature. Do you think there's any chance at all, any talk of all, that it maybe could be a retractable roof at some point?
Yeah, the honest answer for me to that is I don't know if it will be just like a permanent dome or a retractable roof, but you're right that the direction it's headed is an indoor stadium. I think the sales pitch of getting all those events that our city has never had before is what is convincing, you know, some stakeholders to consider this.
Nate, just big picture on this. Like you said, Buffalo, it took a long time. They got it through. We have seen we've seen with the NFL. I mean, NFL owners, will move their teams, obviously. I mean, San Diego was one of those places people were mentioning maybe for the Bills if that didn't come through. Just your overall assessment of, one, can they put together a deal that people feel good about in terms of not, like you said, like you wrote in your story, John Cooper's been adamant, this shouldn't burden the city's operating budget. There's a lot of, there's a lot of talk both ways, like, well, that's not public money. Well, it really is public money. You talk about the bonds, right? And you could break that down and point out how that in some ways is public money. But then the counter to that is, well, some of this money you want to go elsewhere won't exist if this project doesn't happen. And there's obviously a lot of benefits financially. What is your sense for just the discussion moving forward, the arguments on both sides, and the potential smoothness of this happening?
These are the most complicated things that government does, right? The vast majority of the work the government does when they consider, how to do their operating budget, they're doing those every year. It's standard work for them. Building a sports arena, you do that every 25, 30 years. If you do it well, every 50, 60 years, right? So it's complicated, and it's inherently controversial because, I don't know if you guys live in Nashville, but we had issues with our trash pickup this year. We have potholes. We have, regular discussions about whether, our school system is well-funded. So if you're talking about doing a massive multi-billion, $2 billion project, there's going to be some scrutiny on it, and that's what's happening. I think that there's no chance of any discussion about the Titans leaving town that you were just alluding to in Buffalo. This discussion is going to be about finding the best possible, scenario to keep them in Nashville for many life, multiple lifetimes, as long as I'm alive and living here. So that won't be where this is headed. And, we have a Nashville election next year. I think that a lot of the folks involved in this want to get this figured out, the financing figured out before it would become, fodder for campaigns. That's never fun for politicians. I think you would put a timeline of late this year, early next year, where they would really want to have this finished in the best case scenario. And that's why, like I said earlier, these two pieces of state financing are so vital, not just to get done, but to get done this session so that they're in place when the Titans continue their talks with the city going forward.
Hey, for those out there who may have missed it, has there been any indication from the Titans in terms of how much money may be coming from their side of things in this discussion?
They haven't said anything, but the Speaker of the House, Cameron Sexton, said in an interview that they were going to put in, hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm going off memory. I think he said $700 million. So I haven't verified that that's accurate or not, but I think you can look at what the Bills did and estimate that between the NFL's contribution to the Bills stadium and the Bills owners, that's approximately what you would expect. And I think the Titans have given every indication that they're going to put skin in the game, to help get this across the finish line.
Nate, before we let you go, I did want to give you an opportunity to commiserate about the Packers with Robbie. Nate is also a cheesehead. How do you feel about all this stuff with Aaron Rodgers?
Devontae Adams, well, killing ecstatic. Me, Nate. Killing me.
I'm ecstatic Rodgers is back. I have full confidence in the team this year despite the Devontae trade. I think they did a great move trading a 29 going on 30-year-old receiver for a 1 and a 2. And the guy I'm looking at in the draft this month is Pickens from Georgia. He's my guy, and I think he's going to help replace 17 this coming season.
I love it. Nate Rau, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from Axios Nashville. Nate, great stuff, man. Great job of reporting on this story, and we appreciate you joining us this morning.
I appreciate you both. Thank you.
Absolutely. Nate Rau from Axios Nashville, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. George Pickens, his guy. I like it.
do you feel better about Devontae Adams? That was a very, very optimistic, take on Devontae being shipped. You feel all right now?
3 weeks.
I do like Pickens. Pickens is one of the, like, someone's probably going to get a steal there, right?
Yeah, I can't wait until they draft a quarterback with one of those first picks. It's going to be awesome.
I know. I should have asked Nate about Jordan Love and his thoughts on that.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do you think of the new stadium? What do you think of the potential funding for the new stadium? Everything on the table, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
I think I just zoned out here. I think I just zoned out here.
Beautiful stuff from Joe Rexroad earlier in the show.
Okay, I'm glad you played that. So, I think I just zoned out here. In other words, I think something happened to take me out here. You know what I mean? Like, if you zoned out,
nobody else will.
If you zoned out, you would say, "Oh, sorry, I zoned out, man."
Okay, listen. Like I believe that your internet zoned out, in quotes. But when you said it, I was looking at your face on the Zoom, and you looked very confused, just staring. But I know it's because John Hines kind of glitched out for a second. But when you said it, it totally was like, "Whoa, sorry, zoned out for a sec." That's what I thought.
Well, see, and this is also the problem with. So there are times when it's actually not my 2004 Wi-Fi that glitches. So it's someone else, but then I just assume it's mine, you know?
Right. No, that's fair.
So basically, I should have
shut my mouth.
So after the game tonight, since you're going to be out of town, I'm going to have to apologize on behalf of the show to John Hines at the post-game press conference tonight. Basically, what you've laid at my feet here.
No, you need to go there and say, "Hey, John, next time you come on our show, make sure your crap's together and your stuff doesn't glitch out so we don't say stupid things. Thank you." And by the way, what do you think about naming the Duchesne Ford? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, what name would you give the line?
It's called Zoned Out. Name,
yeah.
Called Zoned Out.
The Zoned Out line.
Chad from Chattanooga says, "Worst thing in sports, Joe scrolling through Twitter and forgetting he's in an interview with a head coach." This is coming from Chad from Chattanooga on the text line.
I was paying bills. I'm sorry, John, did you say something?
Raymond in Franklin says, "Joe, put the pipe down. Stay in the zone. LOL." This is coming from Raymond in Franklin.
That is crazy. That I'm glad someone on the text line actually said that, because I wouldn't even have considered they thought I zoned out. God, I mean, look, I zone out a lot in life. Okay, let's be honest.
We all do. We all do, though.
But I don't zone out when we interview most people. Not John Hines. John Hines is a good interview. So I'm attentive to his words.
I can't wait till like the Predators win like 6-4 tonight. And there's this post-game press conference, and I'm walking out, and John, like, "Robbie, let me pull you aside for a second. I got to talk to you about something." What the heck are you and Joe doing when you're interviewing me? This is what you're about to bring on to me tonight.
Hey, guys, if we're going to keep doing this, can we pay attention to me, please?
You have a little bit more professionalism.
I'm asking for 11 freaking minutes of your time, okay? Going to have a skating sprints.
Oh, man. Nate texting in says, "Zoned out means to have VTS, which apparently is vacant teen stare, and not paying attention. Computer glitches, not zones out." This is coming from Nate on the text line. Thank you, Nate. Not Nate Rao.
Yeah. Got multiple Nates going on, too. Not as many Nates as Caleb's, but I'm sorry. Let me read that. Vacant teen, like teenager stare? Okay. Yeah, I know that stare.
Huffy on the text line says, "Hey, guys, I've got a really good idea. Why don't we?" And then just immediately stops his text message. Very well done, Huffy.
Someone else said, "I bet you listen to Hines to fall asleep at night, LOL." Hines is a good interview.
He is.
I was listening very intently, and then he stopped talking.
If only Rex Rode paid him the respect that he's owed, it would be great.
Rex, he just stopped talking in your head because you zoned out.
So apologizing for my bad Wi-Fi, just on the off chance that it was my Wi-Fi, which I figured it probably was, got me in trouble. So yep. There you go.
Never apologize.
And then I go, sorry, I zoned out. And bye. Why didn't Fabro play Sunday?
Yeah. What are you doing? What is Fabro not doing in the lineup? It's good stuff. Joe, what do you think of this this latest development on the stadium conversation with the hotel moto tax currently being at 6%? The rate is allowed technically to go as high as 8%, and the proposal that's out there now that Nate reported on would raise it from 6% to 7% to try and help pay for the new stadium. It seems like they're trying to come up with different ways to help make this happen and to help it happen without taxpayers here in Nashville having to bear the brunt of it. What do you make of kind of this newest development and suggestion that's been thrown out there with the hotel motel tax?
Yeah, well, if you take the bonds, if they get approved from the state, which, I mean, there's going to be interesting discussions on that too. And a lot of people around this state who are going to be like, I don't go anywhere near the Titan in Nashville or their stadium, and I'm a Falcons fan. What are we doing here, you know? Yep. Or I don't care about this. So there's, you know, that has to be approved, but that's $500 million. This, like Nate said, the fiscal analysis says $10 million. So again, if you project that out over 30 years, okay, there's $300 million. Butch Spiridon says, you know, that their estimates, their projections are more in the 17 to 20. But okay, so let's say on the conservative side, let's say 400. You know, let's say 400 million. I mean, there's 900 right there. Now we know about the Speaker of the House, Cameron Sexton, saying in a radio interview last week, 700 million. Now, I've seen some people with estimates that have that and the NFL could loan you up to five. I have my doubts about that.
Yeah,
I think the 700 million may include the NFL. So if that's the case, you know, there's five, four, and seven. Let's put it as one thing. That would be 1.6. So you're at 1.6
billion.
Now again, what's that?
1.6 billion, yeah.
Yeah, 1.6 billion. You're talking about something that, let's say it's 2 billion. You know, maybe this could be built for 1.8, 1.9. I don't know. But you're close. It gets you close. Now, there's still, but the thing is, even if you're like within 100 million, well, that 100 million is still going to be, okay, where is this coming from? And there's still going to be people who are, arguing about the idea of hitting up, you know, Joe taxpayer who does not care about this and would like this A, B, C, and D, as Nate pointed out, to be improved in the city. And that's where this is going to get interesting. He had a great point about, you know, if you get this figured out quickly, you know, people who are in place in their, in their various positions politically, probably a lot better than this becoming fodder for election campaigns, right? That'd you could see where you could see where that could just get real, real interesting and real, real fun. Yeah, talk about zoning out.
Yeah.
So and also time is of course of essence when it comes to the World Cup. That's a big deal right here. You know, if you can get this all figured out and get it to a timeline. The World Cup is supposed to make a decision in about a month. And by the World Cup, I mean FIFA.
Yeah.
On the 2026 cities. And I think that they still could play here in Nissan Stadium, and that may be the choice anyway. But if you had a possibility of saying two stadiums will be up and you can choose, well, would that help your case at all?
You know, I wonder.
You need grass in there.
Well, that's the thing. You need grass in there, and that's why I wonder about, you know, if you have a permanently indoor stadium, probably not having grass in there unless you're just going to take it out of the field every time, but you know, the retractable roof part of it, maybe you could, I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways it could go. I mean, I guess is if it's an indoor stadium, you're probably not having grass, whether it's retractable or not, would be my guess, but I don't know that for sure.
I think they should. And I don't know the cost differences, but Vegas has it. And Arizona brings it in. Is that right? I think that's right. They bring it in, and I think it's worth, but again, what's the cost difference there? Like I like the retractable roof idea. I don't think they're going to go for it, but if you ask me which of those, if it's extra cost and it's somewhere in the same ballpark, I would vote for grass over a retractable roof. That's just me. I think it's been demonstrated, like, it is better for the health of your players to be playing on grass than on field turf.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Joe Rexroth will be locked in and loaded for that interview with Skillsy coming up on the other side. Pro golf coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf now to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink, plus a Predators gift pack, including a polo shirt, golf balls, and an umbrella as well. Text golf now to enter at 615-737-1025. Hal Gill up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Preds radio analyst Hal Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Preds taking on the Edmonton Oilers tonight at 7 o'clock. Skillsy, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Doing all right, man. Just enjoying. I think this might be spring. I'm not sure. April showers have been kicking us in the teeth, so now I'm looking forward to spring.
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to spring as well. Almost forgot what that was like to have, you know, actual warm weather and sunshine. So looking forward to that later. Now, what did you, as a player that goes through a game like the other night when you've got the puck the whole game pretty much and nothing's really going in for you, you get a goal taken off the board, how difficult is it to kind of stay focused and keep going in that moment? Is it difficult if you're out there and you've basically been dominating and have nothing to show for it?
It is tough as a team. The funny part is I'm up there talking in my booth. They're just, you know, they got to do this. They got to get more traffic in front of the net. They got, you know, rebounds got to go upstairs. You know, you got, but meanwhile, I don't know anything about scoring goals. But I do know that as a team, you just got to stick with it. You know, I'm sure it's frustrating for those guys, the pure goal scorers like Duchesne and Forsberg. They're going, all right, we're doing everything right here. Why isn't it going in? You know, I thought they played a really solid game, and sometimes it just doesn't click, and that's when you have to stick to what you know and defend well like they did and, you know, eventually wait for your chance. And, yeah, it was a little fluky play, but even if that puck doesn't go in off of Carlson's stick, I think it's Matthias Ekholm on the back door that's going to get it. It just, you have to wait for your chance. And this time of year, you can't push it. You can't try too hard. You just got to wait for your chance and capitalize when you get it. And so, in the end, you know, they got their point. They battled for that one, and then they got their 2 points in the overtime, and you just have to be patient. And I'm sure they were saying on the bench, just, it's going to come. It's going to come. Just keep going.
Now, Roman Josi's had a ton of big games this year. He's had five-point games. Obviously, we know he's in pursuit of the Norris and the Hart. A pointless game the other night, but I swear I was almost mesmerized watching him the other night. Like how much he was playing, just how he was just skating around everyone and just constantly putting shots on goal. Is that one of those games where, you know, like you have to watch him? You know, you come away with nothing in the box score, but like one of those games where if you watch him that whole game, you're just like, man, this guy's on a different level.
It's every game. It's every play. It's every time he jumps over the boards, to be honest with you. It's he's doing stuff you know, his confidence and the way he uses his skating. It's not like some guys go on a heater where they just get lucky and things go in. And, you know, everyone kind of goes through that where they have some confidence. He's got confidence in his skating. He's got confidence in the fact that, you know, whoever he's playing with will back him up for a few seconds. And he's got confidence that he can get back and help out. So it's every time he jumps over the boards. It's so much fun to watch. I don't understand how he does it, because it's exhausting just watching him, especially when, you know, one of the defenders, Borowiecki, goes out and gets in a fight. He's like, all right, now I have to play more minutes. You know, like I gotta pick up the slack on those minutes. But it doesn't seem to faze him. It's remarkable how great a shape and how an efficient skater he is, and his ability to do pretty much whatever he wants to on the ice. Like you said, not on the score sheet. We're just sitting there going, come on, man. Like, where's your 3-point game? Where's your 4-point game? Like, let's go. We need to get to 100. I'm sure he wants to get there too, just because it's been talked about. And ultimately, if he has 4-point games, more often than not, they're winning games. And when he's on the scoreboard, so it is fun to watch whether he does get the points or not.
Hal Gill on with us here on Robbie and Rexha, joins us every Thursday morning at 9:30. So, Hal, looking at this game tonight, you've got McDavid and Draisaitl coming into town. And I'm just curious, from your vantage point as a defenseman, defending a guy like McDavid, everybody says take his time and space away from him, which is great in theory. And then you turn around and he's eight strides behind you on a breakaway to your goalie. Like, how do you go about defending a guy like McDavid with not only the speed that he brings to the table, but just how quick he is with his hands and his decision making as well?
Yeah, that's speed is one thing. You can get up and try to match speed. Not always easy to do, but his ability to stop and quick cut and get back to full speed is really what's hard to defend. You know, you have to kind of force him one way and give him, you know, maybe you're looking more to contain him, right? You want to put him into an area where you can take away some time and space and force a bad shot rather than give up that cutback and go towards the net. So, yeah, it's another guy that's so much fun to watch. But if you're playing against him, if you're afraid, if you don't have confidence in your skating and you don't have confidence to get up there and be aggressive on him, then he'll chew you up and spit you out. So I do think Mattias Ekholm has always played against him well, just because he does have that strong stride, right? So he plays it the right way, but it's going to be a five-man group, right? I mean, if you don't have guys coming back hard to and realizing when he's on the ice, and knowing that, all right, this defenseman is forcing to the outside, let's take away the middle and make sure that he doesn't make that cutback. And you need to have layers of support when you're playing against McDavid. And then don't forget the Draisaitl is right there. He's no slouch himself. So you have to keep an eye on him as well. So it's scary. When they get on the power play and they get moving, it's really tough to predict where they're going and how they're playing. And it's just one less guy that you can have to collapse around him.
Hal, you mentioned Mark Borowiecki, who, man, I don't even know how he keeps answering the bell, just coming back sometimes after, some of these encounters and what people are doing to him after the whistle and things like that recently. But how important has he been to this team this year?
You know what? If you talk to any of the guys, they're floored with what he does on a nightly basis. And, there's every once in a while, someone's got to step up and answer the bell and fight. But it seems like, I mean, he does. He does it every night. It's exhausting, I'm sure, for him. But our boy Max Herz had a great interview with him after. I was blown away just listening to Boro talk. He says, well, this kid was looking for a fight. He's a young kid in the NHLs. So I knew he was going to go out and look for a fight. and I didn't want them fighting Tanner Jeannot or one of the other guys. They have to go and worry about playing hockey. So I jumped them early on and got that fight out of the way. So, you know, that means a lot, you know, that not just to Tanner Jeannot, but everyone through the lineup. You know, this guy goes out, just got his teeth cross-checked in the night before, and he's out there and willing to fight. He's got stitches on his lip. And, you know, when you get punched in the lip, it hurts. When you have a bunch of stitches and dental work, and then you get punched in the lip, it really hurts. It's not fun. And so he has every right to say, hey, guys, I'm not going to fight for a couple games here until I heal up. But he goes out there and does it again. And I just think that sends ripples through the locker room, through the bench. If you're watching that guy, a complete warrior, go out there, I want to do whatever I have to do. You know, that puts pressure on, hey, you better block a shot. You better make the big save. Hey, there's no reason why you wouldn't take a hit. This guy just got punched in the face five times and beat up their other guy. Like, I want to go out there and do whatever I can to match that warrior mentality. And he brings that to the team, and I know the boys love it. It's something, it's a little bit crazy for the rest of the world to look at, but in the hockey world, that's the level that everyone's trying to get to. Not easy to get there. I'm not saying it's for everyone, but he's there, and you want to be like Boro. You want to go out there and take a punch for the team.
Al, last thing for you here. We talked to John Hines earlier in the show, and he mentioned, you know, Dante Fabbro being a healthy scratch a couple of games ago, how he had been, in his words, you know, average before that, and they need him to be good to great. Did you think Fabbro responded well the other night against San Jose, and what do you kind of see for him as they move forward now?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a young defenseman, managing the game, it's a long season, and Boro has had some injuries. He's come back, and I do think he's played well, but I heard that with Hines. He's just saying, you know, give him a break. We got a guy that can play in Benning. We got to get him in the lineup. You know, you switch it up every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with giving a guy a night off, and as a player, that's the last thing you want to hear, but you know, you take a night off and you come back a little stronger. And so I think you're looking for a response. And that's what coaches are always doing, is trying to get the best out of every player. So, you know, if his game was slouching a little bit, you know, give him a night off, let him think about it, and let him come back with some new energy. And I think he responded, which is exactly what John Hines is looking for.
Al Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Gillsy, tell us about your friends at Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, my friends at Dunkin' have been friends my whole life. I've grown up in Boston. Of course, I'm a Dunks guy. I was always got me through college, and it's gotten me through the NHL. So I'm happy that Nashville has Dunks popping up everywhere. You can check out the newest locations at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard and 1645 West Main Street in Lebanon. Of course, over by me on Hadding Pike, you can get your Dunks at Spring. Iced coffees are delicious, so go out, get your iced coffee. They have treats as well, chicken biscuits, sausage, egg, and cheese sandwiches. You know, if you like chocolate croissants, they got one of the best. Of course, you can get your donuts, your munchkins. Try the snack and bacon if you haven't. That's one of the best snacks you'll have. But the coffee is great. I love mine. So go treat yourself and go get your Dunks.
Al, great stuff as always. We'll see you tonight at the rink.
All right. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good one. Cheers, guys.
Absolutely. Al Gill, Preds radio analyst, joins us every Thursday morning at 9:30 here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, April the 16th. Don't forget, check out their new sofas while you're in there. It must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase is necessary. Also, make sure You're there for the Music City Golf Tournament that we've talked about here a lot. Join us here at 102.5 The Game for Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor, coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with other athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. Sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Joe, it's Derrick Henry off-season workout season again. Put some pictures up on Instagram yesterday where it looks like he's like basically powerlifting the entire gymnasium. Good to see Derrick Henry back at it out there.
I've only seen a picture. Is there? I've seen like the picture where he looks like he has like muscles now, like on his elbows.
Yeah.
Is there actually video too of some sort of just feats of strength?
It's just. Oh no, there's a video. There's a video of him doing pull-ups.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Diana Rossini retweeted it. She's like, "It looks like I'll go take a walk today."
Pull-ups, just like pulling himself up, or pull up with like a.
The earth,
like a building attached to his back or something. Yes. You know?
I think it was just himself, but hey, maybe it's just a warm up. You know, the tire's coming soon.
That's okay, as long as he did like 1,000 or so.
Yeah,
then that's acceptable.
Don't be slacking, Derek. That's right. Yeah. Joe, what do you make of this matchup tonight for the Predators? I mean, we've talked about it earlier in the show. The numbers have started to turn around a little bit for UC Saros in the last four games. Two goals or less allowed in all four of them. He's played really well. Obviously, he's coming off a shutout where he wasn't tested all that much against San Jose, but made some big saves at big times. What do you think of this matchup for the Predators as they entertain Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a good team. I mean, you know, it's a playoff team. It's a team that you've had over the years since those two have been just an incredible duo. I'd say the Preds have had a lot more success than not against them. Remember, of course, that Pekka had this crazy, kind of unexplainable success. I guess some of his success against them was when they were really bad.
Yeah, he was even part-time owner of the Edmonton Oilers at one point, yeah.
And then it's like they tried to like get him back for all those other times, you know. Yeah. So you've seen that too. I mean, when they get going, and like Hal said, like on the power play, the Preds already the most penalized team in the league. You know they want to stay out of the box. That's a priority every night. But you know you're seeing both of them, and you have four guys skating out there when you go to the box against this team. So I'd say that's a pretty big key for tonight's game.
It is. I mean, you talk about two guys. I mean, Leon Draisaitl has 51 goals on the season. So, you know, obviously, McDavid, I think, is the better player. But Draisaitl is awesome in his own right. And as good as your power play is, you're the Predators. You're the seventh best in the league right now. Edmonton is at number four. So, they're operating at about a 25.6% clip. So, it would be a good time for the Predators to stay out of the penalty box tonight. So in the Hart Trophy discussion, Roman Josi finds himself in the middle of that, in the middle of the Norris Trophy for best defenseman in the NHL as well. If he has a big performance tonight against Connor McDavid and the Oilers, how much do we think that could help in Hart Trophy discussions? Because I think, like it or not, when you're playing against some Canadian teams, and particularly against some superstar players, people pay a little bit more attention to that than they do just your average Tuesday game against San Jose.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Josi gets a multi-point night. McDavid gets shut down or close to it. The Preds win. That helps. I don't know how much it helps, but it helps. I feel like Roman is the leader for the Norris based on reading the public discourse about it, basically. And I think that's a long time coming. I mean, I think that recently switched. Or maybe we – just because the thing is, you get like the occasional, you know, analyst who will like write up a list. Like I know someone yesterday didn't have Tanner Janot in his top four for the Calder, right? So yeah, people get mad. Well, that's one person. But some of those individuals were like putting Josi fourth a few weeks ago. And it's like, huh? But obviously, you know, Pierre LeBrun had a great idea to talk to some people about that. And it favored Josi. And I think he's the favorite. but I don't think it's over with. And the heart, you know, that's, hey, I think it does help that there's not a clear winner. I think you're right that Austin Matthews probably ends up getting it, but there is a little bit of an opening there maybe. So if you go nuts at the end, you get to 100, you win most of these games, and then you have big nights and these opportunities when more Canadian media are paying attention, who knows?
Well, and then in the standings tonight, I mean, if you could win this game, and it doesn't matter if it's really – when you were talking about Edmonton, I don't really care if it's in regulation or in overtime. Just win the game. If you're the Predators, that'll put you at 91 points. You know, Vegas, they've got a really tough road game tonight. They're taking on Calgary, who's been red hot as of late, basically been red hot all season long. If you can win this game, then you're at 91 points. That would put you six up on Vegas. If they lose tonight to Calgary in regulation, you're then three up on LA with two games in hand on them at that point. Your playoff chances, if you can win this game tonight, are pretty darn good, especially if Calgary takes care of business at home against Vegas. Now, Vegas, to their credit, just when you think that they're like done, they find a way to claw back in these games. I mean, they were down 4-2 the other night heading into the game, into the third period against Vancouver, and they forced overtime to get a point. So I'm not saying the Calgary's are absolutely going to go out there and win tonight, but if they did and you won, you're sitting in a pretty good spot.
Yeah. Look, by the end of this weekend, you know, it might, the whole playoff, getting into the playoffs thing could be academic. It may not be too. It could go the other way, but
yeah.
I think you got an opportunity here to put yourself at least get, you know, that you're going to be in the tournament, and then, you know, you're fighting with the Stars to what I think would be beneficial to be this, you know, to be the first wild card as opposed to the second. Of course, when the Preds had to settle for the second 5 years ago and everybody thought it was the end of the world, it was not the end of the world. So you just don't know how the tournament's going to go.
That's right.
But I still think it's worth trying to avoid Colorado, I think. I guess it's easier to say that after a 9-goal night from Colorado.
Yes, very much so. That's going to do it for us today. I will be gone tomorrow. Chase McCabe in for me tomorrow with Joe Rexroth. So looking forward to the suit being on the show. That does it for us. Darren Donick and Chase up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.